When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Fox has it with 20 points tonight. Fox now passed to Wemby. Wemby rises. His shot's no good. Rebound Knicks. Game's over. Lucky 13 for the Knicks.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only. Or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning, hello.
Hump day.
Happy hump day, everybody.
What is happening?
How we doing?
Nice little Wednesday morning. I'm taking care of my neighbor's cat, and I'm a little worried about it for a week. Never had anything to do with cats before. It's an indoor-outdoor cat, and the idea of that is really foreign to me. And it's throwing me off a little bit, I'm not going to lie. Last night was the first night, and I got a text, and it was like, they left last night, and it was, hey, we couldn't get it inside before we left. Can you find it? And I'm like, how am I supposed to wrangle this thing? Where do I know? I don't know. I'm going to walk around the neighborhood with a treat in my hand? What do you want me to do here? I can't find this thing.
You put food on the steps.
Well, the ironic part of it was already in the house. Oh. We're like shaking treats outside, waiting for it to come in, and then it trickles up from behind us, ready to go. But the idea of letting this thing out every morning and then hoping it comes back every night, and he sent me a text and was like, yeah, he spent the night outside before, but it's very rare. So if you could get him inside, that would be great.
I think what you've just told us without telling us is you've taken a major, huge step in your neighborhood friendship.
This is a big step.
You
in
don't
the right.
ask somebody that no. you don't know very no. well to watch over an animal for a full week.
The kiddo is like obsessed with their cat. Every time he sees their cat, super obsessed. Loves the cat. Big into cats.
Okay.
Got a cat stuffed animal. Like he's all about the cat life.
Are you ready to own a cat?
It's not happening. We're not doing it. but that was one of the reasons that they asked us to watch their cat was they know how obsessed Teddy Ballgame is with the kitty cat walking around the neighborhood. Now, the other tough part is the dog and the cat don't get along at all. Hate each other. The cat was in our backyard one time, and the big dub dog chased it up on top of a fence, traumatized the kiddo. Mm. Ever since then, the cat and the dog, not simpatico.
The dog-cat relationship is a fascinating one that many could study.
Some of them get along great, and some of them it's like, stay the hell away. Like, if you come anywhere near me...
Well, I got butt cracked yesterday in our FUP date with our animal stuff on vagina fish.
Yes.
And I felt really bad about that all day, actually.
Not a real fish, unfortunately.
It felt fake.
Would
it
be cool
fake.
If it was, though.
It was amazing. Yeah. There's a lot of creatures in the sea that I wish, that probably wish it was real.
We did that WFAN segment. I don't know if it's AI, but it's cool. Either way, man, it's cool fish.
But they need to do a study on why are some dogs okay with cats?
Sure.
Or like cats? And why are some dogs, what is it about certain breeds or dogs that makes them either want to chase them?
What's in the DNA that causes
or
that?
Or be fine with them?
And it goes both ways. Why are some cats okay with dogs and some cats not? Because if a cat's okay with a dog, it's usually good with my dog. Like, my dog doesn't go, unless it's in the backyard. That was a rare occurrence of, like, you're on my property.
What are you doing?
And then
spot.
It's running, and then if you start running, now I'm running, and all the, hey, what's happening here? Like, it's a quick domino effect. There's another cat in the neighborhood that every time he sees the cat, they get along great.
Really?
He walks up, sniffs it, the cat doesn't move, purrs a little bit. It's delightful.
What color is the cat he likes?
White and black.
What color is the cat he doesn't like?
It's kind of a brown and black.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a racist dog? Is that what I'm learning
Well, I don't know if it's a racism thing, because don't they say dogs can't see
I don't think they can see colors. No.
I've always heard that, but I don't know if that's true.
I don't know if that's true either, but I've always believed it.
Maybe it's just the look, the face.
Yeah.
I don't like your face,
Well, there's
cat.
Also the concept of, like, if you have already cats in the house and you introduce a puppy, the puppy doesn't know
then
any
it's fine.
Different.
Yes, it's been around cats its whole life.
Yeah.
And we've never had a cat, so he's never been around other cats.
Well, I think the steps you got to take if you're a dog and cat person is in
you
the
are.
Order.
You've had both.
I have, but I can't anymore.
Right, because your dog didn't get along with cats.
She had a small petting zoo at one point.
That's true.
I basically do. I have.
You still have the lizard?
I have two lizards.
Two lizards.
Right.
I have a bunny, and I've got a dog.
And you were thinking about chickens at one point.
Oh, we have a hamster. We have five animals.
Yeah, you got a hamster running around, too.
I'm out on the chickens.
Okay.
I don't want my yard smelling
too much
like
work,
piss.
Too much smell.
Yeah,
too
way
much,
too much.
Yeah.
Just too much. I'll just get eggs somewhere else.
Eggs are nice, but.
I have five animals.
Yeah.
But what I've learned is, because our last dog was initially like, kind of, I'm the dominant animal here, so we got a rescue cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I get super nervous introducing these two animals because they're polar opposites in many ways.
Exactly.
They ended up becoming like buds.
Really?
Yeah, they became best
friends.
Because
that's pretty rare, I feel like, for a rescue cat. I feel like rescue cats are a little more...
Skittish.
They're on the lurch. They've been through... They've seen some stuff. They've gone through some things.
I'm not the biggest cat guy.
Yeah.
What I will tell you is somebody that's had cats from childhood to adulthood.
Yeah, what do I need to know here? What am I in for in the next week?
Tabby cats.
Okay.
The big orange Garfield cat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you get a cat, you get that.
Get that cat.
They are the laziest.
They just kind of loaf around.
And they're actually the coolest ones. I've experienced a bunch of different cats. The flat-faced ones, those Persian cats.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
My mom got those. Pains in the asses.
Yeah.
The striped cat. They're fine, but they're an in and outdoor cat that don't really want anything to do with you.
Those Siamese cats are evil.
Siamese cats. One of my first cats was a Siamese cat, Rufio. He was fine.
All gray.
He was gray with a little white. He had it kind of, you know, spaced out. Totally fine. The best cat far and away that I've ever had in my life was the rescue tabby cat.
Okay.
Cool Jay. And he got around the neighborhood. He went at his own pace.
Loafed around. Now, did you guys do a cat door? Did you have a cat door?
Not in our current house, but when we adopted him, there were
you
cat
did
doors.
Have cat doors,
yeah,
so he could
we
come
did.
And go as he pleased.
Yes.
Because that idea makes a little more sense to me than wrangling it every night.
And he came home every day.
Yeah.
He did not come home.
You're coming home, he's going to pop on in. Hey, where's my food at? I'm going to take my poop in my box, and then I'm all done, right?
Occasionally he came home at like 1 a.m. and like, oh my God, I think he's still outside.
What are you doing out there,
we'd
man?
Let him in. I'm like, you idiot, get in here.
He's partying with the other cats in the neighborhood.
A little catnip binge for the weekend.
Woo! You know. He's having fun out there.
He's just exploring the pussy.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
Let the guy get out there and sniff around, right?
Current dog will literally rip a cat apart.
Yeah, tear it to shreds.
If given the chance.
Yeah, it won't happen.
So clearly something happened with that dog.
Right. Well, it's also... Now, is that a rescue dog? A bit of a rescue.
A forced rescue.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. A sister-in-law.
The family
if you
didn't
don't
want
keep
it.
Him, he's going back, or I'm going to keep him.
That's
you're
right.
not going to keep him.
Right.
You're not. It's well, a, no. it's a threat you're making that actually has no... real threat behind it.
I feel like people go through this with dogs a lot. Like if you have a traumatic experience with a dog when you're young, like a dog bites you or runs at you, you probably don't grow up to be a dog person. When I was younger, we went and stayed with my uncle in Nebraska, and he had a cat that was like an absolute serial killer. An absolute
worst.
Psychotic. Like you would wake up in the middle of the night and it would be up on top of like a bookshelf, eyes open, just staring at you while you're sleeping.
That's an evil cat.
Like it was
dude.
An evil cat. Like if you got anywhere near it and it didn't like you, it would just lose its ass and start scratching at you and clawing and hissing at you. And ever since then, I've wanted nothing to do. Like, with a cat, the idea of a cat just seems foreign. But they asked, and I wanted to be a good neighbor. So I said, all right, we'll do this. We'll hang out with this cat for a week.
You have to really.
It's not
like,
coming in my house, though.
The way the animals are structured, you have to break a dog, I think, to have an evil dog.
Yeah.
Right? Like a pit bull that will bite.
Something has to happen
to it. Put through a traumatic experience.
Right. Tend to agree with you.
You ever seen a depressed looking dog?
Yeah.
It's actually quite sad. My stepdad, at the one of the last times I saw him, he was bouncing around, staying at people's houses. He was at a woman's house down in the Silverton area, and they had a dog. This dog only lived outside on a chain in a house.
Just, yeah.
And its ears were, like, down.
Like,
and
never
it clearly
went
was a dog whose ears were up.
Right.
And it's, like, the biggest of signs of, I am depressed, nobody's caring for
right.
me.
Right, this is not a fun life.
And I was incredibly sad to see that
That's
dog.
Super depressing.
But if that dog is brought into its house and treated for and cared for, it's a happy dog.
Yes.
Cats? I am convinced 33% of cats are demons.
Like they're just born a demon.
Yeah. Legitimately, like.
No matter what your life experience
is. For no reason.
Right. What did
Nothing
I do to you? Dude? I didn't do anything to you.
Yes.
I haven't touched you. I haven't scared you. I haven't thrown anything at you.
I'd say it's reverse. I think it's 67%.
You think it's 67%?
Yeah. Just born that way.
Yeah, that's
so
just
when
that
you
way.
Get a cat, you're just hoping you roll the dice yeah. right on the 33%?
All the cats I've been yes. around in my life, there was one that was chill.
One chill cat.
It was a tuxedo cat. It was all black and cat. Then had white in its throat and yeah. on its paws.
Yeah.
That's the one in the neighborhood that Bubba likes. Bubba and the tuxedo cat get along great.
And
Lila.
So I would hunker down on the couch and settle in for Sunday football, and it would just get right on my chest
and
squat yeah. and yeah. purr, yeah. and we would be happy as clams.
Not
for
move all
entire
day.
Entire Sunday yeah. afternoon.
That's a good cat
you,
right there.
When you get a good cat, it does make you like cats.
Right.
The problem is a pain in the ass cat is just so yeah. much worse than a dog.
Yeah.
That I just.
It's not worth the hassle.
I'm scooping sand and poop for a cat that's a demon.
Oh, and then
no
they'll.
Thanks.
Then
this cat wants to claw my eyes out at nighttime, and I'm taking
then
care of it.
Then they'll get
right
mad
now.
At you and pee somewhere, like on your bed or somewhere.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's intentional.
It's
like, when usually when a dog goes, it's
purpose pitch.
Either. It's having gut issues or, yeah, right. or yeah. it tried to tell you it needed right. to go out and you weren't paying attention.
Overexcited. I know dogs can do that. You,
yeah.
you go on vacation for a
cats
week. Cats
are
get
on
home,
purpose.
It leaks a little bit.
Right. They are mad at you for something yeah. and they will just go right on your
this
favorite sweatshirt.
This is all
sweatshirt.
The ammunition I need because the wife asks probably once every 6 weeks because she works in the animal industry and so she's around kittens from time to time. And so she'll, like, she has a crop of kittens right now at work. And so I'll get videos. The kid loves looking at the videos of the kittens. And it's probably in every 6 week ask of like, so should we bring one of these home? And
no,
every time
it's
an automatic
it's
no
propaganda.
We're not bringing a kitten home,
yeah,
let alone we got another baby on the way in a few months. The
exactly.
last thing I need is a psychotic cat walking around trying to kill my baby.
Yeah, then you got litter box smell on top of diaper
dude.
smell.
Yes, with a dog and it's like a small house.
Nah.
No, I want nothing to do with this.
See,
this is a lot of ammunition, so I appreciate it.
I think people are always going to be skewed towards the experiences, right? Like,
yeah.
if I eat somewhere and it was a 10 out of a 10 sandwich, which I'm going to recommend the restaurant.
You should go eat there.
I don't know if you're going to get that same experience that I had.
Might be a 7 out of 10 sandwich.
So I think this applies in the cat. Swag had a tuxedo cat that was the only good cat he's experienced. Mine was a tabby.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to get two different recommendations.
And neither one might end up being a good cat when you buy it.
There's no guarantees with cats. Cats are as true a wild card a pet
right.
as I think
yeah.
you could possibly get.
They're a little
get.
More well, mystical and ethereal than dogs.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, it's just, it's the idea of being outdoors has always been weird for me. Of, like, you have an animal, but it's outside of your house all day, just roaming around the neighborhood doing whatever it wants, and then it comes back as it pleases. That idea has always been strange. I think the biggest fear that I have in the next week of, like, can a wild animal please not kill this cat? I don't want this to happen on my watch.
You got to worry about that.
That's a hard one to overcome
yeah.
as a neighbor of, like, I'm in charge of the cat.
How
it's an outdoor
are you
cat.
To, you know, some big dog getting off its chain.
I'm
or,
worried about the raccoons.
I mean, there's raccoons in the neighborhood.
I don't know if there's
skunks
coyotes
all over
around.
The neighborhood. It could,
yeah.
What if it gets sprayed by a skunk? Now I got to deal with that.
That's the worst.
Possums.
Can
yep.
be mean.
I've yeah. seen possums in the neighborhood.
Yeah, there's
They're
a coyote
roaming around.
Roaming.
There's a coyote. I've seen a coyote.
There's a coyote.
I've seen a coyote.
We had a coyote roaming around on the 10th hole at Redtail a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just cruising around.
Forest over there.
Oh, he just laid down. It was the chillest coyote I've ever seen.
Take a nap right there.
Don't mind us. We're playing through.
Yeah,
you see
come.
A coyote every time you go to Glendevere.
Yeah, that's
time.
True.
Guaranteed.
I saw a coyote play in Eastmoreland one time.
I saw one at Rose City a week ago.
Walking down the fairway. Where
Huge
are you going, buddy?
One. I'm like, whoa.
You going to kill a goose? Can you get these things out of here? There's poop all over the place. That'd be great. Help us out a little bit here, coyote. Do your job, man.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping I keep this thing alive for 7 days because that's a hard neighbor thing to overcome. Hey, by the way, I got to send a text. You're at, they went to like Universal Studios for a week with the kids.
Mm.
Hey, by the way, your cat was eaten by a coyote and I saw it in the street. My bad.
Well, do you Greg Fokker it? Do you spray
just
paint?
Find a different,
find a different
it is
cat?
A rescue cat.
I mean
I'm just terrified of this happening.
That's not Jinxie.
That's
not
what
Jinxie.
Smell the tail. There's paint on the tail.
You painted his tail. Fokker.
I mean, I'm trying to win over the family here.
Damn it, Johnson.
I don't want to be the neighbor because if this cat dies on my watch, we're not overcoming that in the relationship.
Well, I think
they got three kids. The kids will never forgive me.
Yeah,
it's scarred for the rest of my time there.
What I would say here though is somebody who might, you know, our last cat was an indoor outdoor and mostly indoor, but like we let him roam and he'd venture off. He always came back.
Yeah.
what I would say is somebody with that kind of cat, if I'm asking you to watch my cat while telling you, yeah, just let him go in and out. He does it all the time.
Please let him in every night, though. That was the thing. I got to get him in every night.
Yeah, but if you tell me that he doesn't come back one day, and you searched and you waited and you were up late and he never came back.
Couldn't find him.
Oh, I just found his body.
Right.
I can't blame you.
Yeah.
I've created this world of in-and-outness.
Yes.
And guess what?
The cat's living with the risk that something might happen.
It's a jungle out there,
He's out there hustling them streets.
Exactly.
What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
Two ways. You either end up in jail or dead.
It's a risk. Right. It's not your fault.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better.
You shouldn't feel bad if something happens. It's
shouldn't
like
feel pressure
like,
this
hey,
week.
Coyote, come eat this damn thing.
Tied a ribeye to his neck, let him walk around the neighborhood. See if anybody wants to come get you.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay.
Okay, we'll be all right. We got to keep Mochi alive for a week. That's my job.
Now,
it's my pressure.
When they approached you about doing this, were you kind of like, we're at this stage of friendship, huh?
There was a little bit of that, yeah. There was a little bit of like, okay, this is on my plate for a week. Now I got to deal with this. All right, I guess I can do it.
Did it come out of left field, them asking you for such a responsibility?
No, well, a little bit, yeah. I mean, we talk. There's a phone number that's been shared, right? So there's that.
Do they have a kid?
They have three kids.
Are they old?
They are all, like, one just graduated fifth grade. I know that because he was at my nephew's fifth grade graduation on Friday. The other ones, I want to guess, are still in elementary school.
So Teddy's kind of trying to look up to play with them kind of deal?
Yeah, still too shy, doesn't really do a lot, but he loves watching them play outside. Kids are outside, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So he's into it. He loves the cat. So for that reason, I wasn't super surprised. And then it's like, you know, I'm trying to be a better neighbor. I'm not the best neighbor. I don't talk to them all at length. I'm not the most spoken person out in public when you see me. And so it's like a good opening salvo of, sure, I will do this. They're right next door, too, so that's different if it's like a couple houses down. Easy to pop over to the front porch and look for the cat out there. It is a big step, though. Now I got to return the favor at some point. I got to figure out what do I need to ask from them down the road.
So, Swag, help me with this one. What is going to happen first? Now, we got to think about the timing of all of this because I think I know what the answer is going to be from you. Is it more likely he gets a cat or they do the Disneyland family trip? Which one will happen first? This is, I think, an easy answer.
I think it's an easy answer, too. I think he can dig his heels in better on the cat.
Really?
Than Disneyland.
Trip.
Wow.
Especially with two of them coming.
That's an upset.
That is an upset.
That's a big upset because I was going to say, if he does Disneyland, he strikes me as when he gives in, which he will.
Yeah.
It's not going to be until Wyatt is like 9 or 8. So he goes,
oh, no,
he's not going to remember any of this.
No, see, I
Why
see
would
Wyatt,
we go when he's 3?
Wyatt being 4 or 5 and old enough, big enough to get on some of the rides.
Most of the rides.
Yeah.
Okay, so 4 or 5.
Because
I'm gonna go
that opportunity will come up. And I don't know, other friends, other family that may have kids similar age, you will get ganged up on.
Oh, he's going to lose.
And you're going to lose. You're not going to have. Cats are easy because your wife is around them all the time.
Yeah.
Like, she can go to work and get her cat fixed.
But what if
she can. Yeah, that is true.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's cat. He's more likely to get a cat first than go to Disneyland.
Because the litter box is a line of demarcation.
Neither!
Especially when you have a dog.
You're going to lose.
Now, you've got the dog. You got
hold the door. Hold the door. No cat coming in here.
I'm just going to watch you just get annihilated by
We're not
zombies.
Waiting in line for an hour, 90-degree weather.
Yeah, it will be a roller coaster.
It will be the Disney vacation.
It's not a small, small world.
Because
Nobody
when
needs
the
to
Disney
go on that.
Vacation comes up, it will be
go
in such
Park,
a manner
man.
That he's backed into a corner and there's absolutely no way out other than faking serious
just rename
illness.
The roller coaster down there. Exciting times at the wonderful Oaks Park.
Look,
we can go
Park's
to the
fine.
Skating rink. They got a haunted house. You check all your boxes you need for an amusement park. And guess what? We walk home when it's done, all right? No need to wait in line for an hour.
You're going to be the weird dad with the old school headphones on skating by himself at Oaks Park.
I'm sure you'll be the guy
in the
inline rollerblades rolling around in the skating rink. I will say, if I had to relent on, like if you asked me, what would I rather do? I have to pick one or the other.
And that's only a week.
The
cat is permanent if you get the cat home.
That is true. That is 100%
valid. That
litter
box does not go away.
No, it does not.
For like 10 years.
What's the difference in price, though? As long as my cat doesn't have health issues.
It's cat's cheaper.
Cat's cheaper,
cat's
right?
Cheaper.
Now, if it ends up having health issues, then that becomes a whole other issue.
Yeah, but you have a number that you ain't saving that cat
No, without a doubt. Yeah,
to that cat.
Sorry, buddy. We're going to let you go on that one. I think if I had to choose one or the other, I would choose a cat over Disneyland for a week.
That's what I'm saying.
But my only condition would be waiting. Like, what age does a kid have to be in order to take care of an animal? Not primarily.
Do you mean, like, legitimately?
Not,
take
like,
care
fully.
Of?
Like, I obviously will still have something to do with
when
it.
Teddy's
but,
like, 6 or 7, you right, can start I feel to like tell him, feed the cat, Teddy.
Yeah, make sure the food's out. Make sure, you clean
water.
The litter box. Like, give him a responsibility
Three
there.
3 more years, Teddy.
The litter box,
doing.
They right. need to be older because you don't want them to be missing and
well, you're
spilling.
Not, they're
and,
not doing the litter box. Him or the wife are doing litter
yeah.
box.
Yeah.
So if you give me like 3 more years and you tell me Teddy can like vaguely take care of a cat, like, all right, buddy, you want a cat? Here's your responsibility. Let's keep this thing alive. Here you go. I think I would rather do that than go to Disneyland for a week.
Yeah, you're going to lose both of these, by the way. I can't wait for the breaking news in 2031.
Still doing the show.
I lost.
Sorry, guys.
Hold the door no more.
I'm going to be gone next week. I'm going to go stand in line at Disneyland.
I'll tell you this.
It's going to cost me 18 mortgage payments.
Oh, you're going to be a daily guest on the show that week. we want phone
you
updates.
You want to bother him while he's going through
That'll
hell?
Be the only nice part of my trip, to be honest with you.
He will if beg I have to go come to on this show and like, talk.
Sorry.
Oh, Doc's recruiting. Sorry. Oh.
What if it's different? Something's actually going on in the sports world, too.
Oh, you'll leave and something will happen. Dan Lanning will leave in 2031.
Oh, it'll happen for sure. His kids are gone. He's a new coach of the Chiefs. No! No!
That'll be the week Portland gets its expansion MLB franchise.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? That'd be such good breaking news for us.
Over my dead body.
All right. Poll questions up. I'm going to make another one. What percentage of cats are evil demons? 33% or 67%? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague.
That's a good one right out of the gate.
As Dirt is cat sitting. So good morning to everybody out there.
Keep the cat alive. Can we do it for 7 days? Find out. Stay on the journey with me.
We have a loaded show. A lot to discuss. Dirt and Sprague, we need to go next on 105.1 The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Where we were right.
Totally nailed it.
Nailed it.
When he shot that length of the ice empty netter, no, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did that go in? One of the rare moments, too, I had to remind myself of how the kid is turning into a repeater because I was just, oh, my God, and the kid for 5 minutes walking around the house. Oh, my God. Like, I'm glad I didn't say anything other than that. That's at least somewhat safe.
Maybe you should get a parrot for a pet.
Yeah, just walking around the house repeating everything I say.
Second poll question went up during the commercial break. What is more likely to happen first for at Theater Johnson? Getting a family cat or family trip to Disneyland? At Dirt and Sprague, you can vote there.
Neither.
And also the percentage of cats that are evil demons, 33% or 67%. You can vote on social media. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Yes, indeed, this show called it. I had Carolina winning 5-3. You seemed a little stunned. 2-goal victory in this series,
we
in this economy?
Hasn't happened yet in the Stanley Cup final.
And Swag jumped on, and then he added empty netter.
Yeah, and tag-teamed it.
When they pulled the goalie, about a minute 30, minute 40, I was like, oh, we got a shot here.
Yep.
And then it got to the point where they did get that empty netter from super far away. And then I'll say this. I don't know. There's a lot of ins and outs of hockey I still don't know, and I'll never understand. The completely of giving up with 45 seconds left when you've pulled the goalie, mm-hmm. it was an odd look. I know that it's not likely they win that game down 5-3.
Oh, you mean Vegas?
Yeah.
I mean, they re-pulled the goalie.
They put him back in. They just kind of stood there at the end with the last 30 seconds.
The fans gave up, too. They all walked out the building. They were down by two with 45 seconds
to
go.
Hit the tables.
All right, that's it. Yeah, you usually put him back in with the faceoff at center ice because if you lose the faceoff, all you literally have to do is just shoot the puck down, then you're down by three. So the thought there is you leave him in, win the faceoff. The second you win the faceoff,
yeah,
possess
the
puck, then you pull him again, and then you try with your extra attacker. It was, look, I'm going to keep ringing it until it's not true anymore. We are now 7-for-7. Carolina scored a couple of early goals, and you thought, oh, okay, Vegas bounce fights all the way back. We get a tie game. Jordan Staal, who's like 87 years old, is having the Stanley Cup final of his lifetime, scores one of the most incredible game-winning goals, falling down, somehow getting his stick on the, like, just an insane shot. The in-goal view of it was awesome, and kind of put into perspective how close that was to almost being a save. And so you have this another game come down to the wire in an empty netter with basically a minute to go that makes it a two-goal game. It was terrific. We now have a tied series. And it's just really cool to see hockey have a bit of a moment. Like, the numbers came in for Game 3. I don't know what they'll end up being for Game 4. But Game 3 is a Saturday night. It's 4-0, so some people might have turned it off. They come all the way back, so hopefully that, you know, I'm hoping that leads to good viewers. It was the most, where did this go? The most watched Stanley Cup final game since Game 3, most watched Game 3 since 2002 in the Stanley Cup. Mm. So you're going 24 years ago since we've had over 6 million, a peak of over 6 million viewers watching a Game 3 of the Stanley Cup final. And it's like, these are two smaller market teams. They're not too traditional, you know, original six franchises. It's just nice to see hockey having a moment. People are captivated by the series. I'm sure the Olympic gold medal helped, and kind of you're riding the coattails of that a little bit. This series is delivered in every game. It's been terrific, and people are responding by watching it.
People are responding to both, because the NBA is having its best rating since 2016.
Game two of the NBA Finals. I didn't see Game 3 yet, but Game 2 averaged almost 17 million viewers, which is up 88% from last year.
I think it peaked at 19. They're I think the solution to me is, one, we're living in a sports bubble, so we're kind of different, but
without a doubt,
I think you're getting more people to watch both of these things. One, because they're actually good.
Yes.
But two, I mean, what's the alternative? Scrolling Netflix forever or watching how depressing the world and the news is?
I mean, you're preaching to my choir.
So yep. I think it's a good escape for people. I think that's part of the reason. I thought there was a really cool thing here, and again, I can't pretend to know the ins and outs. So last night, if you didn't watch or you missed a big chunk of what happened, obviously Carolina ends up winning 5-3, but they didn't pull away until late. They got the empty netter. A cool fun fact happened, a stat happened. Carolina switched goalies.
Yes, they did.
And the winning goalie for Carolina, he became the first goalie to be the goalie of a win in a Stanley Cup game since 1970.
Yeah.
That's an insane stat. Oh, that was undrafted.
Undrafted,
sorry.
Yeah.
An undrafted goalie to win a Stanley Cup game since 1970.
It's a remark. I mean, his whole story all year has kind of been
that's
that for Carolina.
56 bleeping years,
His post-game interview with Emily Kaplan was great.
I watched that, yeah.
And they were like, are you going to start game five? And he was like, go ask Rod, dude. I don't know, man.
Rod Brind'Amour, by the way, not very committal to him in the next
game.
The
goalie situation and the way you handle it is fascinating.
He said the other guy just needed a break.
Yeah, Anderson was a healthy scratch. They pulled him after giving up four goals early in game three, and he technically could have played. He was their emergency.
Goaltender
if they needed
one. But
they
didn't suit him up at the start of the game.
They went with the hot hand from the end of game three, which is like, this is what I love about watching hockey teams this time of year. What psychology are you leaning into? What momentum do you buy into? Like, what's real and what's not? Because that could have backfired. If he comes out and gives up five goals, everybody's sitting here. You're down 3-1 in the Stanley Cup final. You started this undrafted guy who's had a good regular season but has not made a start in the playoffs. And you lost the game, like everybody's killing him. And instead, the guy plays pretty good. You get a couple of early goals. It eases him into the game. He gets the win, and now he's a hero. It's an incredible story, and the question is, do you start him in game five? The backstory is undrafted. He played 111 AHL games, which is the equivalent of the AAA of hockey.
Didn't get called up to his 27.
Now, 27 years old, just grinding in the minor leagues. He's played for three different organizations. He's put on waivers multiple times. He was the fastest goalie to 11 wins in NHL history. I think he won 11 of his first 12 starts when they called him up. And it's insane. Like, he's an out-of-nowhere guy this year who's just caught fire and then was inserted into the Stanley Cup final. And almost brought him all the way back. He only gave up the one goal to lose the game in game three. It was outstanding. And then he gets to start in game four, and he was terrific. And now this has become kind of the story of the finals of Carolina's got to ride the hot hand, right? Anderson was great. They had only lost one time in the Stanley Cup final or in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Until the Stanley Cup final. He's been great for you. But now you got this other guy who's playing at a high level, and seeing what they do the rest of the way is going to be fascinating, a goalie. But it was another tremendous game last night.
One thing to bear in mind is we have a 2-2 series now is, fingers crossed, I picked Canes in six.
Canes
I didn't predict
six?
It to go the way it has,
no.
But
Still alive.
I can still get my Canes and six pick right, too.
Another crazy one. This is the first time in the Stanley Cup final history that each team has scored three or more goals in all of the first four games.
Dude, I think that's the thing I would
say,
too.
There's fireworks immediately in every game, it feels like, including last night.
Like, great pitching duels. They make the game go fast.
Yes.
But chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah.
So do dudes.
Yeah.
And I would say, as like a non-everyday hockey guy, if you give me goals and excitement and eight goals total, like, I'm in.
Yeah.
You'll get me to sit down and pay attention to it.
I feel like hockey and baseball are somewhat similar than that of, like, 1-0 can be entertaining for some, and depending on who's on the mound in baseball, that kind of tells the story.
If it's a big-name pitcher I
like,
know, and
he's in the World Skeen Series.
Striking like, out 15 dudes.
Right. Yeah, and it's 1-0, he's shoving it all night.
Right.
That's different than a guy you've vaguely never heard of before doing it. I feel like hockey and baseball are in the sweet spot of like 4-3 is a really good, like 5-4, 4-3, somewhere in that range where you got some good goaltending or pitching, you got some good defense, you get some offense, you get a couple of home runs,
yeah,
get some nice
power,
goals.
You know, when teams go on the power play, you expect, you know, they should have an advantage there, so you get something like that. And but yeah, if it's tight down the stretch, then, you know, for goal, and I got some post game if you want to get to it from Bussy and
Bussy.
We got Bussy. We had the I got the Canes radio call of Stahl's second goal too. That guy lost it.
That
for
was
a second.
It. Well, we can play that. That's
insane.
One of the craziest goals I've ever seen.
Well, the crazy part was he got free to start the play on a breakaway and was wide open and got stopped.
Yes.
And then Carolina fortunately stayed with the play. They didn't just turn around and, you know, look at the heavens and go, "How did I miss that?"
Right.
And then got it back to him. And, yeah, he was falling down, turning sideways, and reminded me of the one.
Flipping it in.
Ovechkin, when he was on his back and slung it behind him to score.
Yeah, here is the Stahl game-winning, the go-ahead goal for Jordan Stahl.
Jordan Stahl alone now back out in front for Stahl. A backhand, he scores! He scores again! Oh, my goodness! The captain is unreal! His second of the game! And the Hurricanes have got a 4-3 lead with 13:28. Oh, captain, my captain, Jordan Stahl, writing a story in the Stanley Cup final.
Hockey play-by-play on the radio has just got to be
It's such
madness.
A hard job, dude.
You have to be so mentally drained by the end of that broadcast.
It is so hard to do. It does not stop. And it's funny when you're at a game standing next to a radio broadcaster realizing how much of it you just mathematically can't fit into the broadcast. Because there's only so much that you can, you only have so much time, and the play does not stop. It's back and forth, back and forth. And so you're not even telling the audience 25% probably of what's happening on the ice in front of
you. Exactly.
Because you just don't have the
and
time and the voice to do
you're
it.
You're just begging for an icing call so you can catch your breath.
So you take a sip of water because you just need a breather. Stahl is the first player in 43 years to score a goal in each of the first four games of a Stanley Cup final. He's at the end of his career. It's a storybook. You know, I don't know if he's going to retire and where his future holds and all that.
Is he 37?
He's up there. He's nearly 40 years old, and so maybe he plays a couple more years. Hockey guys can last for a while, but you just never know how many runs you're going to get at it. So for an older guy who's been around a long time, it's a really cool story in the final for him to kind of have this performance and be putting them on their back as the older captain in that locker
room. He's the last Stahl brother still playing, right?
I believe so. It always felt like there was 19 of them.
There were three of them.
There was three, and I think he's the only one left in the NHL.
Well, it was a heck of a game, man, and now we've got the Carolina Hurricanes tying the series 2-2 as they head back to Carolina. This is 2-2-1-1.
2-2-1-1-1.
Yes.
They had a sold-out arena in Raleigh last night for a
watch party.
Yeah. It was a pretty cool visual, man.
It's a special place.
And you know what we can do? We can all delay our head coaching hire because I imagine Tom Dundon is a little preoccupied right now.
The fighting Dundons.
We might not get an answer on who the head coach will be until this series is over.
It'd be really funny if in the middle of game five, it's just announced the Blazers may hire him.
People are texting him, "Hey, can we get a comment on this? Like, sorry, guys, I'm watching something else right now. I'll get back to you in a bit."
Love that hockey. We did that hockey. We predicted that hockey. We know what we're talking about with hockey. Huh?
Don't let me down tonight, NBA. 7-for-7.
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 To your point, 7-for-7.
Don't let me down, baby.
We will talk about game four in the Madison Square Garden. Will we have a tied series, or will the Knicks go up 3-1? We'll get to that today. But back with more 6:39 on The Fan.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a local thing I want to get to at the top of the hour. Andrew Claudio is going to join us, Nick's Film Room, at 7:27. We'll talk about old Game 4 at the Garden.
The Garden.
And then we got Stat or Story to get to as well. So the World Cup is basically underway.
It's basically here.
Tomorrow is officially the start of
first,
all the...
Yeah. First match is
first
tomorrow.
First match, right? It's been quite interesting. As somebody who has been on this program and yelled at by listeners for poo-pooing the event.
You did poo-poo.
I poo-pooed.
Sprague poo-pooed.
I will say, the poo-pooing for me is mostly about like knowing our country stands a zero chance to win.
Yeah.
That's a very hard thing for me to get excited about.
Sure. The Winter Olympics helps with hockey that way. You might not be into hockey, but there was a chance that we could win the whole thing.
Summer Olympics, same deal. You can find multiple events where Americans are the best.
Yes.
I will say... Because I'm allowed to. I'm an adult.
Oh, you are?
My mom keeps yelling at me. I'm like, I'm an adult.
I'm a big boy.
I'm allowed to change thinking. And what I've come to is this.
Oh, are we flipping? We flipping or sticking?
We're not flipping all the way. We've slowly started flipping.
Mid-flip, we did a 180, not
you know,
a 360.
When you get the spatula under the burger to see if it's, you know, got that good little
char.
Yeah.
Grill mark.
Yeah, right now I flipped me a little bit just to see where we're at on the cook.
Edge of your burger is just flipped ever so slightly.
I might be flipped fully, but I will say it's been interesting.
Was it the eagle flying around Auburn, Alabama last night that did it?
Well, no, it was more seeing Lionel Messi played soccer inside Auburn's football stadium.
At Auburn. That's
an insane thing to say out loud.
It is absolutely hilarious to think about because I have not followed this very closely until the week of. Right now, the World Cup is starting this week. It's been kind of out of sight, out of mind for me. We're not hosting any games. It'd probably be different. Like if we were in Seattle right now, I'm sure it'd be a different story because that would be on the horizon and a Team USA game would be coming up. It'd be a very big deal. But what seeing and reading where all these different teams are staying, like the little towns that they're in and where they're practicing and where they're getting ready to play has been really funny. And that put it on full display last night. Messi going into Auburn, Alabama to play a game in Auburn Stadium where they did, by the way, all of the Auburn football traditions. They were like, we're welcoming you in. We're playing a soccer game. We get that.
But we war-eagled.
But we're war-eagling this bitch.
I mean, it's a football stadium. They flew, and football.
They flew the eagle around the stadium twice.
It was so cool.
And all these European fans are like, what is happening? Why is there an eagle flying around a stadium? They're lighting off fireworks in the aftermath of it. It's a game. It's just a, you know, it's warm-up for the World Cup. I think they were playing Iceland. But just the visual of that, it was totally sold out. The fireworks, the eagle, it was a hilarious mixture of welcome to America and the world's game of soccer.
So I want to get to the fan part of this because there's been some funny things that people have noted. But like on the idea of Lionel Messi
staying in a hotel in Auburn, Alabama. What's the nicest hotel in Auburn, Alabama?
I mean, there's probably a Hyatt or something there randomly.
Yeah, no disrespect, man. But
well, there might be something that's more like boutique that was like a plantation from back in the day that they turned into some boutique.
Yeah, a bed and breakfast.
Hotel or
it's
something.
More the idea of just how kind of crazy it's going to be for an Auburn fan to be like, yeah, remember that time Lionel Messi played
Messi was down here playing playing soccer down here now. He's not playing football. Don't play football in Auburn, Alabama.
I get a kick out of just the idea of that. Like I saw a photo of an airplane and one of the teams was getting off and somebody made the funniest comment and they said, Mo Salah is considered one of the greatest football players. He's a hell of a player.
Hell of a footy player.
Mo Salah has to stay at a RiverQuest Casino and Inn in Spokane, Washington for this event.
It's so funny.
Mo Salah's in Spokane, Washington right now.
Isn't that funny?
That's the absurdity of all.
Yeah, there's
of
like a team staying in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Like it's just the random places that they are over America right now is cracking me up.
It is. It's getting me. That's what's getting me. The
they're
other
down
thing
there with these
me,
people.
The honeymoon's over.
Even though people are finding that they're not actually getting as many tourists as they were promoting and charging everybody for this dumb event FIFA puts on, The event's not dumb. FIFA's dumb.
Yes.
Even though it's not quite what we were sold, I'm also enjoying there's a German family or guy.
I think it's just a guy.
I think it's a guy, but yeah. Maybe it's a couple.
His name's Freddie.
He's posting, because he's arrived in America, he's posting all of the stops in Georgia that they are going to. Guys, Germany's based in the Georgia region.
Yeah, he was at the game last night with Messi, taking videos and pictures of it.
Okay, so he's in Georgia. He's driving to Alabama for soccer, but he's posting where he's visiting as a tourist.
Right.
And he, like, took a photo of Taco Bell, and he's like, the Holy Grail. And then he's, like, finding all of these, there's these weird off-the-beaten-path, like, there was a, I think it's, like, a little German makeshift village.
He found a little German town in northern,
Georgia,
right? Yeah.
And so he's taking
photos. Has he happened across a Waffle House yet?
Yes, he came across a Waffle House, and he tweeted, he was like, this place is great, 10 out of 10, this is awesome. The service is great. It has easily become the funny, and it's a good reminder of, like, the positive of social media that it can have.
Yes.
Like, because now all these, like, different celebrities are jumping in, because he tweeted out his path of where he's going, and he's driving basically through the South to go stadium to stadium to watch a bunch of different games. He's eventually going to end up in Houston, and, like, J.J. Watt got wind of it, and tweeted him and was like, when you come to Houston, you're staying with me. And so now this German Freddie fan who's just documenting his trip across
He's going viral.
Because he's going viral. That's getting hilarious. All these people. There's people in Tennessee that are like, if you come through Knoxville, call me. I'll give you a tour of the stadium when you're in town. And it's become this, like, he's doing sightseeing tours and, like, Lookout Mountain in Georgia, or he's, this lazy river in Tennessee. There's another gal who is in, who's from Sweden. And she landed in Indianapolis, and she's also going.
She's a hot, though.
She's
right?
a hot. She's a hot, real Swede. Hot Swede. She's a blonde hot Swede.
Yeah.
She's in Indianapolis, and she's been tweeting how her mind is blown about ranch dressing. She's like, why don't we eat ranch on everything? This is delightful. This is like crack cocaine. Europe, what are we doing? And she's like learning these little small stupid details about the United States.
America, welcome to
America. Little American details that are delightful, man.
I think the good thing about it that I...
How many American hots eat ranch every day?
That's... Well, you know, that's not a lot of them. A little thick.
First of all, my daughter.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Pizza, ranch. I mean, if you don't have ranch for that pizza, what do you
do? The wife has got the kid addicted to dipping pizza into ranch, and I'm bothered by it.
Why?
Eat it like a man. I don't need sauce on my pizza. What, do you dip your steak in ketchup?
It's literally based with the sauce.
It's cooked with it. I don't need to dip it in more sauce. I already have sauce on my pizza.
I don't need sauce
it's
on
good
my
enough.
Pizza.
It's good enough as
literally
is.
Literally sauce on the pizza.
Yeah, called pizza sauce. Do you like ranch sauce on your... Do you cook it with ranch sauce?
Well, no.
No, why not?
I don't dip...
Why not?
It's good. I'll give you my take. I don't like ranch.
I don't either. I'm not a big ranch guy.
I don't think ranch is very good. I'm out on
I don't dip anything in ranch. If I have chicken tenders, I'm dipping it in barbecue sauce.
Same.
I'm anti-ranch.
Right. Mustard, barbecue sauce.
It's all better than ranch.
If I'm doing salad, blue cheese, please.
Yeah, I don't dip... I'm a little upset about that.
But I love that she's enjoying the ranch, and I know a lot of people do enjoy dipping their pizza in ranch. I think you need to get off your take here of eat it like a man.
Eat it like a man. Eat it like a man. All right. No sauce on there.
What I think I like about it so much, though, these little stories and these making light of these great athletes that are playing in our venues, there is a form of, our country sucks at this sport, but at this point of time in my life, I'm just looking for the most unifying symbols I can.
Yes.
And, like, seeing people in Knoxville or Houston
right.
or Georgia or Minnesota or, Seattle, Spokane, just seeing all of the – we all are really enjoying these little things about it.
Little small details.
The small details. They're nice little reminders that, when you unplug the internet, we're actually all pretty normal and hospitable.
Somebody's asking when they're doing a tour in the South, can we get
squeeze them damn things? Make Coach sure you got two.
Can you go give a speech when they're driving through Baton Rouge?
Here we go, man. Here we go.
What is the country
talking
that
to European
Edo
football
hosts
fans?
That throws that person off the most? That
take
person
your hand
from a
and
country.
Put it down your pants, huh?
Ooh. It's got to be a country. Who's a country who doesn't like to party?
No. Who's a country that doesn't talk with any kind of boom? It has to be the quietest country who rarely talks, and then he's just like...
I feel like French people are pretty quiet.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's... His accent is most... Cajun.
It's true.
Comes from France, so they might actually understand
it. I actually don't have French people as quiet.
You don't think French people are quiet?
No.
I've never really met many French people.
Love that you threw that out, not knowing.
I don't know. I haven't met him. Quiet European countries.
See, I'm thinking. No, it doesn't have to be Europe.
I don't view a lot of Latin American countries as quiet, though. I think they would get along great with Ed Orgeron.
I'm thinking an Asian person.
Yeah, an Asian country. Yeah, yeah, probably.
Just a quiet, really respectful Japanese man who's
being
like,
super quiet, like, getting thrown off by this.
So the South Korean contingent rolls through.
South Korean's a good one.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
That's a good one.
You don't got to take those shoes off. You don't got to take those shoes off in this house. Come on in. Come on in. Look at your gumbo.
And they're just, like, bowing.
What the hell is this guy talking about right now?
I don't know what this guy's saying.
Dude, the sights from last night, it's I'm excited for the start of it. I don't know how much I'm actually going to watch outside of the American games. The venues hosting will be interesting to see how every city kind of follows
and
what it
looks like.
Well, I think
the daytime matches, you're more likely to.
The daytime matches are
right in the middle of the
day. Start during the show.
Yeah. If there's games going on at the same time as like an NBA, like you'll probably quad box it. I'll try and find a way to watch both. That's a little bit different.
During
daytime matches, like if there's an NBA finals game on at the same time as a soccer game.
Piss off.
Well, sure. Some people will want to watch both.
Split screen. No, it's the NBA finals.
But I'm excited to see just kind of how the spectacle looks across the country as it gets underway tomorrow.
Agree with that. Loaded second hour. Do we have potential local heroes? Fingers crossed on it. Tell you what I'm talking about next, Hour 2 on The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.